Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Boy, what a gentle refreshing here this morning. Let's go ahead and lift our hands for just a moment. There's strength and courage in His grace and hope, healing, forgiveness. Everything you need right now, it's right here. It's in Him. So just take a moment and just receive from Him right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We receive from You Your grace. We thank You for Your grace, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's times coming in your life where the only strength you'll find is in Him. But that's all you need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. He's excited about this next year. There's a lot of hope for you. He has a lot of hope in you this next year. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's a purpose for this grace this morning. There's a purpose for this grace. It's not here, and I love the praise and worship, but it's not here because the presence of God is here. This grace is not here because the praise and worship was special this morning. There's a purpose for this grace here, right now. And it's for you, it's for me to grab hold of it and make our determination that we're going to walk through and make it to the end of our race and not quit and not be distracted and not fall short, but to finish the course that He laid before us. So whatever you're going through, whatever your circumstances or battle or weakness, just reach out and say, Father, I grab Your grace. I grab the equipping that I need. I won't quit. I won't stop. You're all that I need, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. For many of my children have built blocks in their life to stand on, but it's their own strength, their own power, and they feel safe. But because they won't go into this place of relying on Me for everything, of knowing Me as their Father, their provider, the one who leads their steps, I have been limited to what I can do. But I'm calling you forward to a place where I'm your safety. I'm your hope. I'm your courage. And if you follow Me, we'll be able to change the world. So don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged. Don't be in dismay. Do not turn to the left or turn to the right from the things that I've told you and the steps that I've given to you. Stay the course. The enemy will put a fog in front of you to blind the future. But it does not mean the future is not there. It does not mean the road to the future is still not there. It is there. Trust what I've spoken to you. And be courageous. Courageous not in your own strength, but courageous in the words that I've given to you. Because the steps that I've laid out before you do lead to a place that I've spoken to you about, a place of revival, a place of maturity, a place of love, not just miracles, but love and holiness. Don't quit. I hear him saying that. Don't quit. Don't give up. Do not be discouraged. Do not lose hope. Stir up within you the words and the strength that I've given to you. Stir up. Stir up. Stir up what's inside of you. And don't allow the enemy to... I see like a compression, like a pressure. Don't allow him to... I can't think of the word, but it's a... It's like I see him pushing on top of you and trying to squeeze all that God put in you, like an orange, squeeze you and squeeze it out of you and squeeze the word out of you. Don't allow him to stay there. You can make it. Thank you, Father. Father, your grace. Your grace. For some of you, look at the battle you're going through. And this is a battle of holiness, a battle of struggle over long-term things that you've tried to change and tried to quit. And he says to you, don't give up. Keep pressing forward. My grace, my mercy, my blood is enough. My mercies are renewed every day, every morning. Just wash yourself and keep coming. Thank you, Father. Thank you for it. Some of you have disqualified yourself in your own eyes because of your struggles, because of your failings, because of your disobedience. But you've never disqualified yourself in my eyes. Those emotions that the enemy stirs up and tells you, hey, look what you failed in. Look what you disobeyed in. Look what you've done. God can't use you, won't use you, won't include you in the revival. The Lord is saying that's nonsense to him. He's never excluded you. He's never disqualified you. He's just patiently been waiting with you to continue to keep walking. So if you disqualified yourself in your heart, shake that heart up. Remind it to obey God. Grab hold of your soul. And remind it that we live by the Word of God and not by our own words, our own emotions. There's something with callings today that he wants to put on us. And more specifically, he wants to put on you something that has to do with your calling. And this is for everyone who's listening, who's part of this message, because this grace is an equipping for us. It's not a special moment in that we broke through something or we prayed through something. This is not because his presence is here. This is him coming specifically to give you something today. And it's available. But whenever he does this, whenever he comes to give you something, there's always a question that he has first. And that is, will you obey me? And so he always waits for you to say yes before he gives it to you, because then he has permission to give you some things. So that grace is here to give you something for your future, for today, that isn't from you, it's from him. It's not built with building blocks of this world. It's not built on effort. It's not built on hard work. It's not built on offerings or sacrifice or holiness. It's built on faith. Faith in him. Faith in who he's made you. And it's built on obedience, willingness to follow his will instead of your will. No matter where that may lead, no matter how long it takes, whether it's the valley or the mountaintop, if it's His will, that's the safest place to be. Thank you, Father. So will you do that with me? Let's make that decision. Father, we yield to Your will. You see us as children of holiness, children of righteousness. You see us not just of children of miracles and power, but also of love and holiness and characteristics. So we choose to put ourselves in Your will, on that path to those things, where we have to rely only on Your grace and Your mercy every day. And He says, receive freely from Me. That's what He says to us. That's what He says to you. I am everything you need. Receive freely today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. If you're emotionally at the end of your rope today, and you feel that, like just that pressure on your chest, that pressure on your heart, and it has squeezed out all the courage that you used to have, all the dreams of your future, all the desires of your future, and you just squeeze it out to where you're just living day to day, and you feel like, I just need to breathe. And you feel like you've just been waiting to catch a breath. If that's you right now and you just need to breathe, then I want you just come over here to my right. Just come up quickly. Just come and stand up here and lift up your hands. When you go through this, you feel like you're all alone. You feel like no one notices, no one sees you. There's a freedom coming this morning, but it's from Him. It's not from a preacher. It's from Him. It's not failure to get to this place. It's warfare. So if you're feeling that, come up here. This is part of confronting it and saying, I refuse to let you tell me who I am anymore. I'm not going to accept what I feel or how I see myself or how I see my future as truth. I only accept what He says. And there may be a washing of your emotions. There may be a breaking of a battle, but that's okay. Don't stop Him. You don't have to be strong in this moment. He's given you His strength. You're not alone in this. All of us have been in the same place you are. We've been crying and curled up and lost. We don't want you to feel alone. I want to ask for a couple people to come up per person. Please don't pray for them. Just put your hands on their back and don't pray out loud for them. Just pray under your breath. I should have at least two people per person. Please come and just stand behind them and don't minister to them. Just be there with them. Thank you, Lord. Father, we refuse to be intimidated by the threats of the enemy, by the words of the enemy, by the opinions of man. We will trust You. We will not stop. Thank You, Father. Father, I thank You right now. that you're releasing your grace onto each of us here. And we break the enemy's weaponry that's trying to get us to quit. And I say we can breathe. Because we're safe in your arms no matter what surrounds us. Whether it be an army of 10,000, those who are with us are more than those who are against us. And that's what that which is in us is stronger than that which is in the world. So we hold on to you as our hope and our strength. And we thank you this morning for pouring your grace, your courage, your strength into our hearts and refreshing us. We will not be intimidated. We will not stop walking. We won't give up on ourselves because you won't give up on us. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, turn around and give the people behind you a big hug. Yeah, you can be seated. Amen. Part of the enemy's tactic is to get you to feel alone. Thank you. Try to make you live in your circumstance and think, well, this is it. It's just the best it's going to be. It's just the beginning. We wouldn't be called overcomers if there was nothing to overcome. Turn to Hebrews, if you would. Chapter 10. And these verses, I love these verses. But we'll just start in verse 19. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, when you understand these verses, it really helps you to know what he's talking about. Because I've heard this taught in many different ways. When we understand that he's talking to a group of Christians who came out of the Jewish community, who are being persecuted and pressured and attacked for switching from Jew to Christian. And so they're being told, you need to come back. Come back under the law. And, you know, in America, when we talk about the law, the Christians have no idea. They want to say it's like, you can't tell me to show up on church on Sunday. That's just, you're under, that's the law. I'm not under the law. You can't tell me I'm free from the law. You can't tell me not to do this. And, you know, anytime you preach a standard, the American Christian wants to call it legalism. But if you really want to understand legalism, it's important to go back under the law, the real law that they were under. And what they were trying to do is get these Christians to give up the statement of faith as the avenue to being born of God, and saying that's not enough. It's not enough to profess, to say that I'm born again. It's not enough to say a sinner's prayer. You have to come back under the legalism, the rules, the laws, to qualify yourself to be saved. The feasts, taking the lamb to the priest, the high priest. Come back under that. That's the only way to God. And so they were being persecuted. That's different than being given, that's different than talking to them. They were being attacked. Their stuff was being taken. Their families were disowning them. They were being persecuted and pressured to come back under the law which they came out of. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, in all of this part, and I think in most of all of Hebrews, actually, making a case that the way to salvation comes by faith and not by works. That we are now under a New Testament law, a New Testament standard, which says if you want to be born again and go to heaven, it's by faith and by grace. So he says here about running into the presence of God, running into the throne of God by the blood of Christ. But I want us to focus on, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now, if you jump over to chapter 11, verse 1, he's talking about the same thing, the famous faith verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, we can use these faith verses for things. And I understand that. It's okay. You know, I want a new car. Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, brother. And it's the evidence of things not seen. So call in your new car. Speak it. So we spend our time speaking for a new car. But what he's really talking about at the root here is the only evidence you get to have that you're born again, the only proof that God can give you is faith. That's it. You don't get a birth certificate. I got a reborn birth certificate. You don't get any proof. You don't get any angels coming to you and saying, yeah, I'm here just to let you know you did good. You're right. You're on the right course. That the only evidence you get that you're born again, and this is the argument that's being made here, is faith. Such faith that the Old Testament saints he goes into had faith in Christ's coming. When Abraham called those things not as though they were, we like to use that as how I call in things for myself, which is okay. I mean, if you want to look at how faith works, that's good. But what it means in Romans is Abraham called himself saved, born of God, because a Savior was coming. He called that in, and he said, I am putting my life in that Christ is coming. A Savior is coming. And so for this group here, the argument is, don't give up because of persecution. And he says, later on, he says, stop your feeble knees, you know, and toughen up. Get over the persecution. When the argument comes to you and the devil comes to argue with you and build a case against you and say, it's not working. What God told you is not working. What you believe doesn't work. Because there's a certain place that he comes to prove to you that it doesn't work. And he'll have lots of proof, lots of examples, a lot of legal, like real things to show you. Well, you know, your aunt, she believed God, and she died. And your uncle, he went to go be a preacher, and he went broke. And, you know, you have lots of testimonies of people failing. But how many know we don't accept other people's testimony? In fact, you can never accept someone else's testimony, even the good ones. Because you're unique. There's no one like you in the world. No one's been through what you've been through. No one's fought what you had to fight or knows where you come from. So even the good testimonies don't work. Because when you're going through a battle, the best testimony is not, I had that happen to me. I just spoke to it and it left. And you're like, well, I tried that, you know. And, you know, people like to come up with simple answers for what you're going through when they're not going through it. There's only one guy who knows what you're going through and knows how to get you out of it, and that is God. You know, like an example for me would be my father. my dad, he's my birth dad. I call him my birth dad because he died when I was four, but I was raised by Ken Taylor, so he's my dad. He's technically my stepdad, but he's my dad. But my birth father, Frank Robidoux, was born with no fingers on his left hand. And so if Frank Robidoux came here and heard me preach, he'd hear me say, "You can believe God for anything." And if he came up after service, said, "Brother," or, you know, "Preacher, I have no fingers on my hand. I was born with no fingers on my left hand. Can I believe God for new fingers?" And what should we say? "Yes, of course you can. Just believe." "Well, how do I do it?" "Well, brother, believe. And God will give it to you. The word says that the maimed were made whole. So if you just believe, God will give it to you." So he comes back the next morning. "Preacher, I spent all night believing for new fingers. I believed with everything in me. And they didn't show up. What should my answer be?" I could say, "Well, I believe God and I have good fingers. So just believe." And that's where we have to finish the statement that I made 1,000 times as I preached. And it's a true statement. That your problem is not sickness. It's not disease. It's not poverty. It's not the devil. And it's a very true statement. Because Jesus already defeated all of those things. The problem that we have is our believing. And that is an accurate statement. However, if we don't finish it, we can lead people who have different circumstances feeling like they failed. "Well, Frank Robidoux, you have no fingers. Just believe like me and you'll have what I have. But my fight is different than his because I'm believing to keep what I have. He has to believe for something to be miraculously created." So our answer is, well, here's some tools to work on your believing. You know, confess the word, pray in tongues, do these things, worship, fast, all these things, work. So he comes back after a month. "Preacher, I've been fasting, been reading the word, confessing the word, speaking the word, praying in tongues, still no fingers. So what is my job now? Do I just say, well, just believe, brother, and you'll have what the word says you can have?" See, there has to be a compassion with every bit of gospel to allow people to fight in faith where they come from and not where you come from. So my answer would be, don't get discouraged. Your fight to get fingers is bigger than any fight I've ever faced. Because you have to believe for a miraculous healing. One day, we were believing for a revival where I will be able to represent Jesus in the proper way as a preacher. And you'll be able to receive it from the service. But until that day, you're on your own. But you can believe God for anything that His Word promises. So then the role becomes to help encourage him not to give up. And that may be the role that you need to have, is don't give up. But to remove the guilt, the stigma, the self-pride that I've had out of my own self during my circumstance, I've had to face some of the things that I preached in the past because it was with the knowledge of truth without the compassion. See, I haven't gained any knowledge of faith during my battle, but I've gained a respect of compassion for people going through a battle because of what goes through our minds and what goes through our hearts and all the things that the enemy brings against you. I remember I was with a lady. Her son was born with one kidney, and it was a small kidney. And they told him he'd probably be able to keep it until he was 14 or 15. Then he would outgrow that kidney. Well, I think he was 12 when I was called to the emergency room with her. And I went into the room, and they had told her, look, he's grown past his kidney 2 years before we thought he would. And so he's going to need to go on dialysis or need a transplant. I remember sitting with this mom, and she said to me, what do I do? I have been confessing since he's been born that he'd never be on dialysis and never need a transplant. And the doctor said, you have maybe 2 weeks to decide because the little kidney can't hold up to his body. And I remember having to walk her through that because, you know, look, this isn't your body. This is your son's. You know, you can believe and still walk this out. You know, was my advice to her. Believe for a miracle, but walk down this road that the doctors are saying. And because God's interest in you being well, even if he has to go through a doctor, he'll always meet you where your faith is at. It's still faith. It may not be complete, but it's still faith. And he's still alive today, this little guy. He's growing up now. But she had to make a choice. But her argument to me was, I have confessed that this would never happen. Well, here we are. We're facing this. We have to face it. We have to go through it. The courage we can have is that wherever you are, however you got there, you don't have to compare yourself to someone else. Maybe your family's a mess. Maybe your finances are a mess. Maybe emotionally you're battling stuff. Whatever your circumstances are, if you're following God, I'll guarantee the devil has been stirring up trouble. And when you face those things, get rid of the self-judgment, because no one has been where you've been. No one's been through what you've been through. Your walk to get to wholeness may be harder than someone else. So don't listen to their testimony. Listen to the good testimonies, but only if they encourage you. Because you can get through it. So this verse, let us hold fast. I think in the King James it says profession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold fast to your profession. So here's how I want you to see this. When you choose to follow God, to give him your life, because most Christians don't. Most Christians, American Christianity, is about going to church on Sunday, doing your getting a pat on the back for showing up. You feel good about yourself for doing something. And then go and live in your life. And your goal in life is to prosper. Because you know God wants you to prosper, right? God wants you to prosper. God wants you blessed abundantly. I mean, amen to that, but what really is abundance? When we look down to it, or up to it, or we look at it, what really is abundance? Would you rather have a giant mansion here? Or would you rather have your kids go to heaven? To the husband, a Harley may be his sign of, you know, I'm joining the Harley Club at the church so I can show off my prosperity. But to the mama, it's like, I'd sell everything I have to make sure my kid goes to heaven. So what really is abundance? Like, we have taken some verses and some ideas and generically posted it on who we're supposed to be. God wants everyone to be a millionaire. God wants everyone to have a big house. God wants everyone to have a nice car. See, I don't believe that. I believe that God has a specific call for you. And that call may be so specific that he asks you to move to the jungles where the sign of prosperity was you caught a monkey to eat that day. And you're the richest guy in the whole jungle, you know. And if he asks you to do that, are you willing to do that? You know, that is where we can mess up and justify not obeying God's steps, but pursuing our own ambitions and fleshly desires in the name of God. My Lord, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to give, and God's going to bless me with 100-fold. I mean, I used to, okay, that's fine, but now I'm realizing more and more how ridiculous the American-ism has crept into the gospel. You can be a patriot all you want. You can be a Christian all you want, but don't mix them. Don't take your Christian ideas and push it on to be a patriot. But don't be a patriot and push it on through the Christian. Your patriotism first is to heaven, second to the nation you're from. But in the nation you're from, be proud of that. I'm a proud Canadian. I still got Canadian blood in my veins, and I can still hip-check you hockey style, just the way I am. And I'm proud Canadian. I'm proud to live in America. I'm blessed to be here. But it's not who I am. And my direction in following God is not from the country I'm from. It's from the country I belong to, and that's heaven. I didn't mean to preach all night. I got off on that. So here he says, hold fast to this confession, to this profession. When you're going through the battle and everything against you says it's not working. See, you're not dumb. You're not ignorant. You're not a fool. And when you start going through hard times, it is the religious American Christianity that tells you you're failing. When the devil comes and begins to squeeze your finances, and you say, wait a minute, what's going on here? I've been faithful in my giving. I follow God. And he squeezes them tighter. And you're at work, and you work hard, and you're faithful, and the other guy gets the raise. You don't get it. God, you call me to be blessed. And the enemy begins to tell you, it's not working. And the people around you say, well, if you really believe God, you'd have an abundance. Now, here's what we believe, and I'll speak for the prayer center. We believe there's a place in God where we march in His will and march above every weapon that is formed against us. We march above poverty, we march above sickness and disease because the devil is under our feet. But that has to be proven in our lives. And it comes to when you go through a battle to win it, that you refuse to accept what the devil says, you deserve these circumstances. You're not going to get it. It doesn't work. Because there's another way to prosperity, and that is through living in America. And that won't work in other countries. Go live in a country where they can't find food. There's kids out there right now that haven't eaten 4 days. Or they're so skinny because there's no food there in their country. And there's a war all around them. And if you stand up to say you're a Christian, they come and get you and cut your head off. So we have to be careful in knowing that what God has for you is specific. And what the enemy has for you is specific. But when you're going through that battle, and when I was attacked with my circumstance that I'm going through right now, it was a surprise to me. It wasn't a surprise to God, but it was a surprise to me. Because if you asked me before, I would say, well, just listen to my last message, get that tape. Believe God. Because there was a thing in me that believed God, was seeking to believe God so that I wouldn't have to go through hard times. There's some truth to that, but it has to be built not on avoiding trouble, but built on a faith that I can get through whatever the enemy throws at me. I am more than a conqueror in Him. It's not a man-built faith. It's a faith built on the Spirit. That's why when you pray in tongues, you walk through trouble. Because your spirit man starts walking you into the will of God before your flesh ever agrees to it. And so you've done agreed with it. You said, Shanda, Shanda, and God said, that's it. That's good. Let's go. And you start walking into this battle that God knows you can get through, but the flesh has no idea. Like, why are we going here? No, we're supposed to take the biggest job opportunity. We're supposed to seek after. And then you find yourself in that place, you know, where you can choose to get better, choose to have more, and you can't make yourself do it. Have you been there? Like, why am I not taking this opportunity to fix it? Because your spirit man's already agreed to follow God. And your flesh is like, no, this is better, man. We don't have to go through a battle. And when I started with my circumstance that I'm in, I told the young people, I said, look, the enemy's come, try to kill me. And I believe he thought he was trying to kill me, and I thought he could kill me, but he didn't. It's been a year. I'm over a year now, still here. Hallelujah. It's going to get better and better. But then it was to stop me from believing, stop me from watching, to get me to change course. Because he's crazy. He doesn't. He can't help himself. It's like a dog. If you take a dog and you put a piece of meat in front of it, the dog can't help itself. He can't help himself. He's going to attack. That's what he does. He's crazy. He's a killer. He's a destroyer. We're above him. He's under our feet. But to express that, see, I have to overcome this enemy because he's trying to kill me and discourage me and stop me from moving forward. Because as I move forward, I'm going to beat this sucker and he won't be able to do this again. Because I have a place through God that I'm above and stronger in faith because of what God gave me in him. Amen? And some of that has to be proven in warfare. And now, can you beat this guy? Well, I probably could beat him with a little more finesse. You know, like, stop. Get out in Jesus' name. But I guess I'm not that finesseful. You know, I have to walk through this way. That's God's mercy, saying, you still get the win. You just got to go through this road. But we're not going to quit. Amen? So this group was under attack, not just on what they were doing, but under the core of their beliefs. The very core of what they believed is, prove to me that you're saved and going to heaven. I have the old... See, the New Testament was not in place like we have it now. There was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There was no Ephesians. There was no Hebrews. It was... this is what Moses wrote. This is what Abraham said. This is what Ezekiel wrote. And they had all the scripture, and they were proving to them, you're wrong to believe that you can just say that you're saved. You're wrong to believe that you just have to speak that I'm saved to be saved. You're wrong. I have all the scripture to prove to you that you're wrong. Now get back under the law and give up that silliness and get back to where you know you're going to be in heaven. And here the writer says, you hold fast to your confession. You hold fast without wavering to what you spoke. And so the way that God has shown me is I have two pegs in the ground. You know, you take a tent and you hammer a peg in the ground and tie it to the tent and it holds the tent up. Well, I have two. I have one in my past and one in my future. And that these are my two things that I hold on to. Because when you're going through circumstances, which all of us are going to go through something, I want to say, you know, just believe God, you won't go through something. But, you know, I'll talk to one person. They'll say, I don't understand. I'm emotionally, I'm having such a hard time with depression. And when you go through depression, other people don't see what you're going through. You know, you try to explain to them, they go, yeah, just get over it, you know. And you're like, the only way I can get over it is with a whiskey or something like that. You know, but they just, people don't understand when you go through depression. And I have a glimpse of it, but not like some people have to go through. So my answer to them is, look, this is your mountain. You can't judge yourself by other people. You can't look at yourself as a failure because you have to fight through this. But there's hope for you that if you stick to your profession, you stick to the Word of God and believe what God's spoken to you, keep walking, that you'll get through it. And you'll look at other people and say, well, look at them. You know, like I walk around sometimes or hobble around right now, and I'll see people who you think would have a heart attack or you think they should have a stroke. You know, like, man, that guy, look at him running around. And all the, you know, they walk around, they have like all the warnings, you know, smoking a cigarette, drinking alcohol, you know, all the thing, eating all the wrong foods, and they're living to be 110. And you're thinking, what the heck? You know, this isn't fair, you know. And so you can look at other people. Maybe your family has had hard times, and you look over at the nice family on Facebook, and you know, Facebook's a bad place to go if you're fighting depression, because everyone fights, you know, shut up, smile, take the picture, you know, post that one, not this other one, you know. But you can look at other people. Well, how come they're not having a problem? Look at me. Everyone has different circumstances. And so your mountain may be different than someone else's that you have to overcome. But you can overcome it. And so you take the one stake, which is in your past, which is your profession of faith. This is the profession that says, I'm born again. This is the profession that you made when God asked you, will you come higher with me? How many have had God ask you, will you come higher with me? Everyone in this room has at one time. That's the only reason you're here. He's asked you sometime privately, say, will you come with me, you know, a little further? He didn't tell you what was around the corner, but he asked you to come a little further. And when you said that, that also held a promise that if you stay with him, you're going to finish it. So you put that stake in the ground. There's a long rope, and that's your life. And at the other end is another stake, and that's your prophecies. The prophecies you've been given, God has spoken to you privately or given to you by someone that you trust, and you trust the word that I've called you to this, or I see you doing this. And I have a couple of those. I have ones where people have had dreams of me being perfectly whole, and that's my short-term one that I hold on to, and then I have the ones of my calling. And that I put that stake in my future, and I'm walking to that. And that is how we navigate. Let me rephrase that. That is where the hope is, that we know we're going to get there. We don't navigate from our prophecies and say, well, God spoke to me that I'm supposed to be in Canada, so I'm moving to Canada first chance I get. You know, that has to be led by the Spirit, but it tells me where I'm going. That is a promise of God that if I don't quit, if I don't change course, if I don't turn to the left, if I don't turn to the right, and I keep walking, that I'm going to get there. That's his promise to me. So that's what we do. We speak the past that he promises, and we speak the future promises. And then we keep doing what he's told us to do. Keep praying, keep speaking the word, keep worshiping and fasting, and keep doing everything, all the tools that he's given to us, but we keep walking. And the basis of speaking the Word of God is built on the promises that he's given to you. The promises in his Word and the prophecies that he's spoken over to you. That is the basis of speaking the Word of God. Because I can speak all day long, I thank you, Lord, for a super big mansion. And you got to be careful, because there's power in your words. If you speak something long enough, even if it's wrong, your heart will start to go that direction. And then your desires will go that direction. And then your ambitions will go that direction. And then your work ethic will begin to build something for you towards that. And you'll get it, but it may not be in his will. Can I say that? That God doesn't want everyone to be a millionaire? That's not in his will. In fact, even if you are a millionaire, he doesn't really want you to manage that. He wants you to let him manage it for you. See. So hold fast to your profession. These are the building blocks, the front and the back of anything you speak. That I speak the word of God, not to get my own, but to get what he's promised me. That I refuse to change course. No matter what you're going through. But is it because I don't believe that I'm going through this circumstance? That's the only reason you're going through the circumstance. But it's also because you have the devil's attention. Because if you weren't pursuing God like you were, the devil may leave you alone. And you could have a happy life, happy house. And God saw fit for me to face my circumstance. He saw fit for me to walk through my circumstance. He saw fit that he'd rather have me go through this hard time. It's not a bad time in my life. It's a hard time, but it's not a bad time. He saw fit that it'd be better for me to go through this because of what I'll have on the other side of it than for me just to live my life and be happy and work a job and stay home on the weekends and go boating on Saturday. He saw fit that because I gave him my life, that he's willing to walk me through whatever the enemy has to stop me. Because on the other side is what's the most important prize, more important than cars, more important than mansions, more important than gems, and that's the souls of this world. And the ones that are unreachable, the ones that can't be talked into the kingdom, can't be negotiated, can't be convicted into it, the ones that can't be promised things. You follow God, he'll give you money, he'll bless you. One of the arguments that was made in an offering one time was, how many would like for God to pay off your house? How many would like to have God give you enough money to pay off your house and then go pay off your neighbor's house? Wouldn't that be such a testimony to go down to your neighbor and say, hey, brother, I'm a pastor or I'm a Christian. I'm going to bless you and pay off your house. I'm going to show you that God blesses me more because I'm faithful to him. That won't that win them to God? Well, if you want to have that blessing, there's an anointing on me right now. I want you to just take your biggest offering you can that you can give, and I want you to put it right now and plant the seed of faith. Susie Jones, she gave last year when I gave this offering. And 2 weeks later, someone came by and paid off her house. So right now, bring your offering. Quickly before the anointing leaves. And so I want you to see how some of the gospel has been twisted to excite the flesh, to negotiate with the flesh, to say, if you follow God, I'll give you this. But God's not interested in negotiating with your flesh. He's interested in helping you to mortify that flesh so that he's all that you need. He's very jealous. He wants you to only need him, to only look to him, to only follow him, to only receive from him. He's jealous. He loves you. And if you're willing to follow him to your high call, and you go through circumstances, hold on to the profession of your faith. Don't waver to what he told you in the past. See, you're not dumb people to say, well, maybe I miss God. Maybe I've been tricked all this time. You know, pray in tongues. They tricked me. You know, I should just be going to the other church where where I don't have to do all that stuff. That's just works. All the fasting, oh my God, that's works. You know, all the reasoning to get out of the tools to help overcome your flesh. Yeah, your flesh is crazy, I know. You have a father who loves you. He knows you. He knows every battle you're going to go through. Some of it is supernatural. Some of it's natural. Someone who was born with no fingers wasn't your fault, wasn't anyone's fault. That's just nature. May have a longer road of confessing and praying in tongues to get to the place that they can believe for new fingers. Physically, we all start at a different place, so I want us to be careful not to give the whole gospel, not just the truth, but the grace and the compassion that goes with that truth. The truth is, for one thing, to give you hope. It's not to condemn you. It's to give you hope. Whatever you're going through, whatever battle you're in, whatever sin you're dealing with, stop condemning yourself as being a failure and take the hope that says you're not stuck there. You don't have to stay there. You're on a road to a place where you will be above everything the enemy attacks you with, and he will not be able to sneak through. But if he finds a way and he sneaks through, you still can overcome him. Amen? Well, let's lift up our hands for a moment. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your hope. It's in you. we hold on to everything you told us. Your words are true. We have not been mistaken. There is a place where we'll speak to the blind eyes and they'll open. And we'll speak to the deaf ears and they'll open. We'll speak to the enemy and he'll flee. And no weapon formed against us will prosper. We're after that place, Father. We're in pursuit of your will, wherever it takes us. We're in pursuit of holiness. We're in pursuit of the miraculous. We're in pursuit of love. We're in pursuit to be in that place where we're not insecure. We're in pursuit of that place of not being judged or allowing ourselves to be judged. Father, we don't give up because of what it looks like. The enemy may have stirred up the fog around us to make it look like this, and we're not going anywhere. But truth is, we're walking down a path. We're walking down a path that's going to end with the promises that you've given to each of us individually and corporately. Tulsa's in revival. And every promise you've given to me, every promise you've given to each person of their calling, of their families, of their finances, Father, I thank you. They will come to pass because we refuse to believe circumstances. The only voice we listen to is yours. The only proof we need is the words that you've given to us. And we speak those words with the hope that we will finish our course. Thank you this morning for your grace upon us. Each one, where they're at, what they're going through, you have designed every bit of grace and mercy and direction that they need for them. There's no one behind. There's no one too far. We're all family. And you're our Father. So we receive from you today. In Jesus' name. Amen.